What is the eighth commandment? I heard it. The eighth commandment. Pop quiz. Huh? No stealing. That's what we are looking at and considering this evening. Lord's Day 41 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We are slowly making our way through the Ten Commandments. And we have questions 110 and 111 to recite here and a few verses. I assume you all have your handouts, and so we can get started. What does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? He forbids not only outright theft and robbery, punishable by law, but in God's sight, theft also includes cheating and swindling our neighbor by schemes made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, he forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. What does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, that I treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13, if you want to turn there. A few passages on this matter of not stealing. Deuteronomy 25. Verses 13 through 16. This is the word of the Lord. You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you should have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Turn to Psalm 15. This is actually one of my favorite psalms. When I hear this, I cannot help but think of Jesus. And specifically, Jesus ascending to the holy hill and fulfilling the law on our behalf. Psalm 15. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money yet interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. You can see reference to not stealing there. Isaiah 58. Proverbs, Isaiah. Isaiah 58, 6 through 10. This is an interesting one. God calls for a fast from stealing, and instead of stealing, basically, be generous. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the fingering, and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the wicked, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as noonday. 1 Corinthians 6, this is one we read last week, but it applies not just to the seventh commandment, sexual morality, but the eighth commandment, no stealing. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It's interesting, in the list of sins he mentions there, they really center around the seventh and eighth commandments: sexual morality and stealing, swindling. And such were some of you. Last one, Ephesians 4:28, and I'll just read this one for you. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let's pray. Father, many, many passages to consider as it relates to your law of righteousness, which is good and offers blessings to us. And so, Father, help us to understand and consider the eighth commandment as you would have us this morning. Teach us to be honest and generous in the Lord as you are generous with us. Help us to hate stealing as you hate stealing. And Father, may we be better for it, more trusting, more generous, more godly. And may your glory be made manifest through it all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of the Ten Commandments, I imagine out of the Ten Commandments, we think we might... out of all the Ten Commandments we might struggle with, this commandment is the commandment we feel pretty set and straight on, the Eighth Commandment. Don't steal. Well, I'm not a klepto. I don't struggle with that. I must be good on the Eighth, we might think. First Commandment issues, loving and worshiping God only, we might struggle with. We talk about struggling with that one often. We often quote John Calvin, who said, the heart is an idol factory. Our hearts are constantly creating idols, and we bow down to them and worship them, and we are constantly putting the creature, the created things, before the Creator, and so we struggle therein with the first commandment, and yes, also the second commandment. We struggle with that too. The heart is an idol factory. No idolatry. Or you could also lean into the second commandment and say, we talk about that often as it relates to images of God and, yes, Jesus, which we've talked about a fair amount. In some ways, we're still figuring that one out. First commandment, second commandment, yep, we're talking about those. We wrestle with them. We often feel convicted by them. The heart is an idol factory. Third commandment issues. Don't take God's name in vain. Revere his name as holy. Be careful with the flippant use of his name, like our culture does so quickly. Third commandment issues, we struggle with those. Fourth commandment issues, honoring the Sabbath and resting in God's grace as he would have us, using our time wisely for him. That can be a sore spot for some. How are we faring in our fourth commandment observance and fourth commandment issues? Some of us talk about struggling with that. Fifth commandment issues abound in our culture today, honoring our parents and our authorities. I really have authority issues, we might say. And so the pastor might say, it sounds like you have a fifth commandment issue. Sixth commandment issues might at first seem like one we all have down pretty well. Do not murder. I've never killed anybody, but we all know what Jesus said. If you were even angry, you've murdered your brother in your hearts. We all struggle with sixth commandment issues. Don't even get me started on the seventh commandment as it relates to adultery and lust and sexual ethics. Ninth commandment, anyone struggle with bearing a false witness? We all know the church is completely immune to gossip and slander. I speak facetiously. We all struggle with ninth commandment issues. And of course, there's the tenth commandment, the commandment of the heart. Do not covet. Don't wrongly desire what is not yours. That one, I imagine, peaks its head often in our hearts at moments of discontentment. But what about the eighth commandment? Do not steal. When was the last time you stole something? When was the last time you caught yourself full stop and you heard your conscience sounding the alarming bells saying, eighth commandment, do not steal. That's an eighth commandment issue. I think we might be a little bit lost for words with trying to figure that one out. Kevin DeYoung, in his devotional on this one, pointed out that a survey by the Barna Research Group found that 86% of adults claim that they are completely satisfying God's requirements regarding abstinence from stealing. I've got that one figured out. Period. Good to go. The other ones we can talk about. How many of us might say we struggle with the eighth commandment? And we would say it readily. Well, we got one hand. Time, stealing time, good. Stealing time from God. Okay, so now we're even talking about stealing from God. It's interesting. It's not a commonly raised issue of repentance in the church today, but I think we're worse off for it, and we should be talking about this. We should be talking about not stealing. What does God mean by that? This evening, we're going to follow the two questions in our catechism in a fairly straightforward manner. We do well to think carefully about what this commandment actually forbids and what it requires. Those are the two questions in the catechism there. What does it forbid? What does it require? And that's kind of where we're going this evening. So what does it forbid? The eighth commandment obviously forbids stealing. Do not steal. That's straightforward. Although, as the Old and New Testaments elaborate on this commandment, it doesn't merely have shoplifting or swiping something from someone's house in mind. The eighth commandment calls for honesty in all matters of the marketplace. It calls people to honor one another's possessions. Think about what that means. Jesus applauded the rich man when the rich man summarized the Ten Commandments as love the Lord your God, and the second is like it, love your neighbor. So this commandment is about loving and honoring your neighbor. And one way you can do that is by honoring your neighbor's possessions. Honor your neighbor's wealth, which God has given to your neighbor. There is something of a connection between this is my neighbor, these are his things. If I honor his things, I honor him. So love your neighbor. This is actually a matter of love, not stealing. And don't scheme or scam your neighbor. That would be hating your neighbor. In a business exchange, don't take more than you should. Every time you sell something, okay? Every time you might sell something, every time you set a price tag on something that you're selling on Facebook Marketplace, you are dealing with an Eighth Amendment issue. It is your conscience struggling with the Eighth Commandment that is stopping you from selling that car on Facebook Marketplace for more than it is worth. God hates scammers. God loves honesty. God loves those who love their neighbor. The world is full of scammers and dishonest business exchanges. That's why Facebook Marketplace has sometimes a suspicious or not so above reproach record. It's full of scammers. So the world is full of Eighth Commandment issues. In preparing for this, I found it interesting how often the matter of weights and measurements comes up in the Bible as it relates to this. We read a couple passages that refer to do not have two different weights or two different measurements in your pocket, in your bag. If you go to the marketplace to purchase apples by the weight, you want to make sure that the scale is calibrated correctly. If you are purchasing a fabric by the yard, you want to make sure that the person you're buying it from has a correct yardstick. If you buy a vehicle from a dealer, you want to make sure that the dealer doesn't have that the vehicle that you're buying doesn't have problems with it. My dad always tells me, before you purchase a used vehicle, what should you do? Take it to the mechanic first. Have him look at it. Don't trust those used car dealers. Eighth commandment issues. In a world of greedy scammers, we wrestle with the Eighth Commandments often. Now, many of us might think, well, thank the Lord I'm not a greedy scammer. You might not be a greedy scammer by the world standards, although I bet if you think carefully enough, you might be able to find a moment when your conscience struggles with an Eighth Commandment issue, at least at some point, some place in your life, maybe even weekly in your work, right? How many of you are or have been paid by the hour, and you need to report your hours to your boss? I can remember the first time as an hourly employer or employee, I was responsible for this, and it drove me crazy. My conscience, and I didn't realize my conscience is struggling with Eighth Commandment stuff here, but my conscience was really bugging me. There's a high responsibility here when I am responsible for honestly reporting my hours down to the hour, even down to the minute. It wasn't a simple clock in and clock out system I was dealing with at that workplace. We were expected to keep track of our own hours, and without fail, I would always forget to either clock in or check the time when I started working, or I would forget to clock out or check the time when I finished working. So I couldn't be precise when precision was required of me. I'll never forget the moment when my boss at this small company asked me what was required, asked me to clock out as he was waiting to close up the shop, and I pulled out my phone in order to check the time and clock in and clock out on the little app that I had, and he was looking over my shoulder, and I saw that I had forgotten to clock in. He was pushing me in a rush to get the hours recorded, and he realized I was making a guess at when I first came in, right? I mean, you have to put in a clock in time in order to clock out, and there he was. I made a conservative guess, hoping that if anyone loses money, it would be me. But it was nonetheless an Eighth Commandment moment I will never forget. Sometimes the Eighth Commandment requires precision, precise measurements, or a precisely fair price for a good. The Eighth Commandment can require, in that situation of precision, the Eighth Commandment can require a lot of work, can't it? Although, here's the secret. It's called loving your neighbor and honoring God, which, yes, is often hard work. We might call it a labor of love, and with some wisdom and common sense, routine processes, an honest man can figure out how to run an honest business that will grow in a good reputation and profit as he figures out how to deal with honesty in the marketplace in everyday matters. Other examples of Eighth Commandment issues involves public services. Let's say someone is paying you for a service, or you are paying them for a service. They're paying you a flat rate, money up front. You come, you get paid, but you're lazy. Your laziness, what is it? You've been paid for that service. You're lazy. Your laziness is stealing. Or let's say you were not lazy. You worked really hard, although the person paying for your service was not satisfied with your work. What issue are they raising when they raise a concern about your performance? They're raising an Eighth Commandment issue. Sorry, your service is not worth my money. The money that I paid, you're stealing from me. You're scamming me, even though you think you worked really hard. Okay. Well, if you find yourself about someone's service like that, a good way to stay level-headed about it is to really take a moment and really think, do I think this person is sinning, breaking the Eighth Commandment in the service that he is providing, or do I think this is more of an issue of preference? Right? That person is working hard. I'm not entirely satisfied, but he's working hard and doesn't do it the way that I would do it. Well, let's say you go to a comedian show, you pay the money, you didn't think he was funny. There's a difference between a preference. He made jokes, and most people were laughing except you. That's preference. And there's a difference between preference and a violation of the Eighth Commandment. He literally did not make any jokes. All he talked about was politics the entire time. It was a political talk. It was not a comedian show. That would be an Eighth Commandment you've stolen from me compared to I didn't like your jokes, right? Okay. So all this to say, we find ourselves in Eighth Commandment situations all the time. We live in a world run by an economy, by markets buying and selling. We also live in a world full of greed. Notice that question 110 there concludes by saying that God forbids, quote, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, here it is, he forbids all greed and pointless squanderings of his gifts. The eighth commandment forbids greed. It forbids, get this, pointless squanderings of his gifts, according to the Heidelberg Catechism here. That one might be most convicting. God gave us gifts. He gives us material gifts like money and food. He gives us spiritual gifts like a propensity towards hospitality and service and teaching, art, and all sorts of abilities that he has given us useful for building up, serving the church. And when we do not use his gifts, as he calls us to, we use them for our own gain rather than God's glory, or we just don't use them at all. Who are we stealing from? We are stealing from God. We're robbing God, albeit granted, God cannot be stolen from. Right? Who has ever stolen from God? Who has ever loaned out to God that he could be at interest? I think Paul speaks that way at the end of Romans 11. God cannot ultimately be robbed. Everything belongs to him, and yet at the same time, for example, Malachi 3:8 speaks in reference to stealing from God. God says to Israel, will a man rob from God? Yet you are robbing from me. But you say, Israel, how have we robbed from you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you the blessing until there is no more need. So often, when we're speaking of tithing, we might hear Christians speak of stealing or robbing from God what is rightfully his when we do not tithe. Have you ever thought of tithing as an eighth commandment issue? Have you ever thought of not serving in the church with the gifts and time and abilities that God has given you as an eighth commandment issue? Malachi 3:8 is a passage worth considering, no doubt. Although I will say this, neither the Heidelberg Catechism nor the Westminster Catechisms, when they give an exposition on this eighth commandment, neither one of them speak of stealing from God. And I don't exactly know why. I'd like to put a little more thought into it. But at the very least, we see there in Malachi 3:8, the Bible itself does speak in that way, even in reference to tithing. So the eighth commandment forbids dishonesty in all matters related to commerce and other people's possession or time or money. And I will say, as it relates to services, there is a difference between preferences and actual eighth commandment, you're stealing from me. And I think when we fall into that situation, you're really upset with the food that you just paid for. Did you just get stolen from because the service wasn't, or was this a preference thing? Would you, one way to kind of think about this is this person sinning? Is this person breaking the eighth commandment, or is this more a matter of me and my preferences? And how should we think through that? So, what the eighth commandment forbids? What does the eighth commandment require? I suppose we've touched on that a little bit already. It requires honesty. In fact, I'd say it requires hard work. In some trades, it actually may take a lot of time and even a lot of money to have the right measurements or the right pricing strategies or the right weights all in working order for you to fulfill Eighth Commandment requirements. You might have to go to school and follow the economy every day and put a lot of study into knowing how to rightly price a used car or price a used piece of machinery before you put it on a Facebook marketplace. It reminds me of the Antiques Roadshow, if you remember that show. Is that even still a thing? Is it? Yeah. I figured Lori would have a good answer to that one. It's right up her alley. People who are into antiques are literally into a profession obsessed with asking, what does the Eighth Commandment require? That's what it is. They study history. They study the markets. They study supply and demand. They study different precious commodities and what makes something more valuable and less valuable. They literally get paid to tell people what something costs. That's That's quite a profession of hard Eighth Commandment work, if you really think about it. And the Eighth Commandment requires hard work. Another example of that kind of hard work that involves the ethics of taking government handouts. I'm going to go there. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul calls Christians to, quote, do hard, honest work with our own hands. Let the thief no longer steal, but let him rather do honest work with his own hands, right? So if you are lazy and don't work when you are able, and you decide instead to live off of other people's taxes, that's probably a time to take a moment and consider how the Eighth Commandment would apply. So the Eighth Commandment requires hard work. It requires, what else does it require? It requires generosity. We can be Pharisees about getting the right precise price tag or service on any good, any service. Although if we take that too far, I think people have a word for it, and I think it's called being snooty or stingy or cheap. Sometimes we like to call it being frugal. That's a nicer word for it. Although if we cultivate such a high-handed Eighth Commandment culture wherein we nickel and dime people for their services and keeping tabs on every shortcomings from every person's service, we end up losing in the end. We end up cultivating a culture of anxiety and grabbiness rather than generosity and joy. Right, don't steal. Yes, don't be stingy. Rather, what does the Bible positively call us to? Give, 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 give. Generous, generous, give, generous. Remember, as Jesus himself said, the measure that you use will be measured to you. If you are stingy, don't be shocked when people turn around and get stingy and grabby with you. When you are stingy, or when a church or a group or something is stingy, don't be shocked when suddenly that becomes the culture of the group. Instead, be generous and patient, even when you have concerns or complaints. Give a compliment. Give an extra tip, even when the waitress is having a hard day. Pray it would cultivate a culture of generosity and giving in the church, in a family, or in a society. Someone has to open up the floodgates and get the train moving. Let it be the Christians. Let it be the churches. Let the churches be a place of sincere generosity where people are free to serve and rejoice. So the Eighth Commandment requires hard work, and it requires generosity. And in all that, what else does it require? It requires faith in Jesus. We cannot be generous if we don't understand how much we have been given. Why are we generous? Because God was generous with us. We've been given the confidence in knowing that God can take our subpar performance and work his purposes through it. Even if we are being shorthanded, we know that we have all glory. We know that we can be patient because God was patient with us. We know that we can be generous because God was generous with us. And that is the Christian's ethic, 100%, all the way. One way to say it is this. Be tough on your own work and generous in your payments and treatments towards the work of others. That, I think, is the Christian's calling. I think that's what we're called to do. As you are dealing with Eighth Commandment issues, right, take the log out of your own eye first before you look at the speck in your brother's eye. Be tough on your own Eighth Commandment observances, on your own how you're handling business affairs and whatnot, and be generous in your payments and your treatments towards others and their work, all because you are serving Jesus. He's died on the cross for your sins. He's given you hope. He's given you eternity. He's given you an inheritance to enjoy forever. He's given us the Holy Spirit and so many other things. So be generous towards others. And you are serving Jesus, so be tough on your own work. Serve him with all you got. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this commandment. We thank you for the call to be honest and wise in our dealings as it relates to not just others, but even other people's possessions. And Father, I pray that you would so move us in this church to develop a culture where we are tough on our own selves, that we work hard with our own responsibilities that we have, and Father, that we are generous and gracious with the service of others. And Father, may that truly establish a culture of grace and generosity and joy and hard work amongst your people and beyond. And Father, may it even serve as a gospel witness to others. May people come and see in this church a group of people who work hard and who are generous. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.